Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello, everyone. It's Becky Brown with you today, along with Dr. Alice Benton and Chris Williams. And just in case you weren't aware, it is December 1st. It is 24 days till Christmas, and don't pressure, no pressure to get all your Christmas shopping done. But some of you are already doing that. Not me.
I'm not even close.
But I'm just, you know, I always wonder about that. I appreciate a good shopper. But anyway, enough about that. One of the things that I'm really excited about is our 2023 workshop season. We're going to launch it in January with our Emotional Freedom Workshop. And Emotional Freedom is an opportunity for you to get a great start on the new year. There are places that you may be stuck. There are situations where you feel like you are never, nothing's ever going to change. But I want to hear from Alice and Chris. What would you say to somebody who, you know, maybe doesn't understand what emotional freedom, not just the workshop, but what that does, what does that really mean in someone's life?
One part is how empowering it is, because most of us can easily point to all the problematic people in our lives. And if they would just clean up their act, our life would be a lot better. And we probably wouldn't feel the anxiety, the depression, the anger that we've got swirling inside of us. But emotional freedom teaches us that there is so much that we can do about any internal discomfort or turmoil that we feel. There's a lot of resolution work we can do, no matter whether the people around us change or not. And so the freedom part is so true, because it gives us the steps that we need to take, and it gives us the safe space to be able to explore and resolve our own emotional conflict.
And I really like how you're talking about the empowerment of it. Because to be powerless against something is to be underneath its power. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you want to be powerful to have power over something. But empowerment is power with something. And that's really what our emotional life is designed to be. Now, when we have unresolved issues in our life, and like you said, Alice, when somebody else's behavior determines our internal world,
yes,
we are powerless there. And so we can't be with ourselves. We can't be with our own emotions. Or if we deny our emotions, try to have power over it. But like I've mentioned this before, but that can be a mob boss. It's going to show up in a different way. But emotional freedom is not free from emotions. It's free with our emotions. We know how to be with ourselves. Yes.
Well, and Chris, talk about those that may be highly emotional, but they can't move forward. So, you know, maybe they're stuck in sadness. Maybe they're stuck in anger. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're stuck in just despondency. What does emotional freedom look like for those folks?
Well, whatever the sadness points to is unresolved. Whatever the anger points to is unresolved. It's a dashboard light up that's saying, like, there is an issue in your life that's unresolved, and you will not move forward in a healthy way until that thing is resolved. You come to Emotional Freedom Workshop, and that it's going to be a process that is going to show you exactly what in your life is unresolved, that needs a deeper sense of healing, progress, whatever it needs, so that you're not stuck in anger, you're not stuck in sadness, you're not stuck in depression, you're not stuck in fear and anxiety.
That sounds like hope. I mean, listen, January 21st, it's online. You can find all about it at newlife.com, or just give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and our, you know, our ministry folks will help you, you know, determine whether this is a good fit for you. But listen, this is probably the easiest difficult next step, right? I mean, you know, nothing is easy when we're trying to make changes, but you will be surrounded by a group of incredible people. You'll have a group counselor who is one of our network counselors in New Life. And you're going to have great teachers like Chris Williams, Steve Arterburn, and Dr. Jackie Mack Harris. We hope you'll attend. If you need any information, you can call us. We're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back answering your calls.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Listen, I already said it's Thursday, but you know, one of the things about Thursdays, you can catch our Life Recovery Today show on NRB TV. We also have it available on our YouTube channel as well. But this program, Life Recovery Today TV, is where you can learn all about recovery and all different aspects. And you know, the big pushback about recovery is, well, I'm not addicted, so I don't need recovery. Well, I don't want to surprise you, but you might. So just check it out. We have new guests all the time, and Steve does some great teaching. We get teaching from all across. Alice and Chris both have done episodes as well. So I just want to point that out to you. And now we're going to go to your calls, and we're going to talk to Melissa, who's calling from my birthplace, Detroit, Michigan. I always like to give a shout out to the Big D. And she listens on the internet. Hey, Melissa, I'm so glad you called. How can we help you today? Melissa, are you there? Oh, she might be on mute. Melissa, hello, hello. Okay, well, we'll put Melissa on hold, and we'll come and talk to Anna, who listens on SiriusXM. Hello, Anna, how can we help you today? We're glad you called.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Can
you
hear
welcome.
Me?
You're welcome. Yes, we can.
Okay, good. All right. Well, my husband and I have been married for a very long time. We have two kids, grown, in college. One's in college and, one is not. But anyway, my husband has had an extramarital affair with another woman, 5-6 years ago, and came back, and unfortunately, he's still somewhat involved with this woman, and he is still in contact with her. He hasn't blocked her. They still text once. They still text. He. I've asked him, you know, not to do this and not to see her, not to also see her at work, make appointments with her, etc. And he still has continued to do some of this stuff. I can't make him do anything, obviously. I've been claiming Mark 10:9 for what God joined together, let no one come between us. And I have been staying in faith during all this time, but it has been very difficult. Knowing that my husband's thinking about another woman and wondering what she's doing and thinking maybe
well, sure.
he might have this better life, this better life with this other woman. And he's bored with the status quo.
So, Anna,
and it's very
how can we help you today? What would your question be for Chris and Alice?
Well, I don't know what to do with my situation. I just feel like it's up, it's down. It's up, it's down. And, you know, he is okay with lying to me. And that's not okay. You know, I don't want a divorce. I don't want to break my family up. And, you know, I'm just in such a situation, you know, that I feel like nobody really understands.
Okay. All right. Well, let's hear from Alice and Chris, and I think we can get you some steps to move forward. Alice, you want to start?
Okay. Oh, Anna, my heart is so heavy, and it really dropped when I heard you say the ups and downs, and I need to give an ugly response to that. I think the ups you experience are superficial, and they're not really ups in your marriage. Your husband has never fully ended this affair. It's still an active, ongoing affair, whether or not there's physical intimacy
emotional.
At this point.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And when there's emotional intimacy, it's so likely that there actually is physical intimacy still going on as well. So I feel very protective of you. And we rarely do this, but I actually was worried for you when I heard that you're claiming scripture. Now, there's nothing wrong with claiming scripture, and the word is vital to our lives. It's so important. But I think that verse might be in a way blinding you or minimizing what is still happening in your home and in your marriage. Can you tell me how you react to that from me?
A little bit shocking, but, you know, because I keep claiming, you know, faith of a mustard seed. I keep claiming and leaning on my scripture and my faith, you know. But I understand what you're saying. Maybe I have blinders on.
There's a tolerance level that is protective, attempting to protect your marriage. And, of course, the last thing that you want is a divorce. Divorce is horrible for the whole family.
Right. Correct.
Your husband is already living out the divorce in some ways. Mm-hmm. He is ignoring you. He's ignoring what's happening to your heart. He's blatantly continuing in the affair. And so your faith, I'm so sad to say this, your faith hasn't been able to stop the active divorce from taking place because your faith doesn't have the power over his free will and what he's choosing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the solution is not rooted right now in continuing to claim that your faith in God can heal your marriage, although that still remains to be true. The solution lies in actually distancing yourself, separating yourself from your husband, because it is possible that losing you to some extent might change, might influence what he's been continuing to do. While he still has you, he still is also enjoying his affair.
That's good advice, Alice. Chris, what would you offer?
Yeah, I think to just build on what Alice was saying, too. So in addition to separating for his sake, it's separating for yourself so that you can go work on your heart, because you are being diminished and devalued while this whole thing is going on. You deserve to be with a man who is committed to you, who's faithful to you, who honors you. And when you're not, it's fairly damaged. When you told me about that verse, you know, what God has put together, let no man separate. And I'm like, oh, well, he certainly did. Your husband chose a woman to separate. And so I'm like, that verse actually means something very different for you. And that your husband chose for a person to separate you guys. And that's incredibly painful.
And, you know, Chris and Alice, I want you to speak to that whole concept of, you know, we are holding the line, thinking that that's good, while the person who is offending is not paying any attention whatsoever to, you know, what is actually happening.
Well, we lose ourselves in that process, because what we end up doing is we hold I think that that's really good, Becky, because we hold the line of the entire marriage, our side of it and the other side of it. And that's not our job. And so you can't hold two lines without losing yourself in the process and compromising yourself. And in this sounds really harsh, but in some way participating in the affair by not separating yourself out from it.
And so
it's hard.
Anna, in your attempt to protect the family and hold the family together, it's a false protection that's actually enabling and allowing the sexual immorality, the emotional infidelity to continue. And I think that that risk to your sons and to you, to the marriage, is more insidious. It's a cancer that's eating away at the family. And so although it would be so disruptive to take any form of steps away from your husband, whether it's choosing to live in a different home or pursuing a legal separation, if he continues to be unwilling to fully end this affair and to delve into every man's battle and to delve into help, your separation is actually a more genuine protection of your family, and it might allow for the deeper healing to take place.
Right. And Anna, one thing I want you to hear too is that this is not your fault. We're not saying that.
Thank you.
We hear you, and we know that this is painful. And so you have not caused your husband to do this. But in continuing on holding that line, nothing will ever change. I think we're going to send you a copy of Sherry Keffer's book, Intimate Deception. healing the wounds of betrayal. And I also want to invite you to join us at our Restore workshop in February, because I think it could give you a great deal of insight in how to move forward. But just hold on the line. We'll send you, Al, she had one more thought for her.
Becky, there's a new verse to work from. And that is from the book of Matthew, where we're told that if we're with an unrepentant sinner who continues to harm us, then we address mm-hmm. it once, we bring a witness, and if that unrepentant sin continues, then we separate. And it is godly to do so.
Yeah, I love that. You know, that is so true, that we will use Scripture and not realize that we need to do more. You know, God's working it out if we will work it out. But it's hard. It is very hard, especially in those situations. But we are so glad you called, Anna. And we're going to help you get through to the next phase so that you can begin healing. And who knows? God can do amazing things. We've seen it so many times through our Everyman's Battle workshop as well as our Restore workshop. Actually, we're doing Everyman's Battle beginning tomorrow. And it's not too late. Maybe he would say, you know what, I will go and go to the extreme that I need to heal my family. Okay, so now I think we've got Melissa back from Detroit, and she's calling us. She listens online. Melissa, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thanks for taking the call.
Oh, good. I'm so glad we mm-hmm. have you. And how can we help you, Melissa?
Well, I just felt totally neglected and unseen and included in my stepdaughter's wedding. Mm-hmm. And I felt like my husband really wasn't participating and making sure that I was a part of just some minor things like pictures and stuff that kind of left me heartbroken. So I would just like some advice on to be a good Christian wife and not feel left out. His stepdaughter is very controlling, and so even if he did have enough courage to say something, he would be shot down, and he feels like he would lose relationship with her if he confronts her. But knows that I love him, and I'm not going to leave him, but I'm also feeling left out.
Melissa, we hear your tears and the deep pain that's here. Would you tell us the story of when your stepdaughter came into your life, and how has your role of becoming a stepmother to her, how has that been for you both?
Well, she has rejected me from the beginning, and I have tried to send letters and thoughtful gifts that in conversation when we did talk about things that she loves and, you know, things that I know that hobbies and stuff like that. And so I've been trying to connect with her. It's obvious in this world that I have great relationships with everybody else but her.
And how,
so I can talk to a stranger.
Melissa, how old was she when you came into her life?
21 or 22.
So I'm going to ask a tough question. Given that you've always experienced rejection from her, why did you expect something different at her wedding?
Because her father and I have been married longer, and that she's now 28.
So, Melissa, I have a very different question for you.
Okay.
I want you to pay attention to your body. I want you to pay attention to the space between your chin and your belly button. I want you to think about when it hit you at the wedding, that feeling of rejection, of being unseen, of being neglected. And I want you to pay attention to what you feel in your body there in that core. And what do you notice?
Yes. Heat.
Where?
Oh, definitely in my stomach.
Okay, stay there. How long has that been a part of your life?
Only in situations like this.
Okay, what situation? Like, I want you to go before you ever met her, before she ever came into your life, when was the first time you remember feeling that?
Well, listen, you can think about it during the break,
I'll
Melissa.
Think about it.
Okay, good. We are going to take a break, and then we'll get back to your call, Melissa. And, you know, we hear your heart, and I think we can help you. We are so grateful to be able to be in this space where we can offer help. And if you need something today, you can call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE because we're there for you. We want you to find that transformational life that God offers. And we know that it can be difficult because, you know, there's just stuff. There's just stuff that we deal with, but there's always hope. And we want to be there for you. We'll be right back after the break, continuing to answer calls.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You're with Becky Brown, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton, and we are talking with Melissa, who's had some heartbreak in a family situation. And we asked you, Melissa, to think about that feeling that Chris, you know, had you think about, the heat in your gut. Did you figure out where you had felt that earlier or before?
I don't know how far I can go back, but I will tell you it happened. Like, this happened at his son's wedding too, and so that was 4 or 5 years ago. And so I don't feel this way all the time, but when it happens, I tend to get like this.
Yeah,
like very left, like abandoned.
Okay, so I want you to pay attention to that because, Melissa, this sounds strange, but I want you to hear this. Adults don't get abandoned. Children do. You know, there's another term. This might be a little bit more helpful, but I work with a lot of people that I have carry around troubled energy, meaning they think they're in trouble. And I'm like, adults don't get in trouble. Adults make decisions and either, and whatever the consequence, deal with it. But adults don't, children get in trouble. Children get abandoned. And so I mention all of this because, yes, if someone, I feel rejected by someone and not paid attention to and unseen, I can do something about that as an adult. But that isn't an abandonment necessarily. And I only mention that because I think that this thing goes way back. And I'm not saying that this definitely doesn't have to be addressed with your husband. Mm-hmm. So don't hear that. Because this is definitely an issue that needs to be worked out in the marriage. But I want you to kind of understand that maybe your reaction to it is a little bit disproportional to the situation because there's some healing that needs to occur inside of you. And that's a really, really good thing because I'm hearing in you, you don't want to carry around this feeling regardless of what happens to you.
Right.
Yeah. And so I think that, like, hey, let's get really, really curious about this heat in my gut. And typically when I'm working with people, if something is held in the throat, it kind of points to sadness. And again, there's always exceptions to this, but these are kind of general rules. If it's held in the chest, it's either fear or anger. If it's held in the gut, it usually points to something of disgust, and it's really historical. The gut carries stuff that's way deep down and way, you know, and that's, you know, it can come with nausea and lack of appetite or whatever the case may be. And that those are the things we got to get into, those gut experiences and what happened early on.
Alice, do you have anything that you want to offer to Melissa?
Melissa, I want you to explore and consider your desire to be a mom and how that was thwarted, both as a stepmom and maybe even as a biological mom. Maybe some of those hopes and dreams weren't realized, and so there was a second chance, a third chance with your stepchildren, and yet you weren't able to get close to them. And it makes complete sense that not being more involved, invited in their weddings would be hurtful to you. And so I think that there is grief that motherhood has not looked like what you wanted it to. There's also grief go ahead.
Oh, no. I mean, I have an amazing relationship with my own biological son. We're very honest with each other. I come from a blended family, and we've done it really well. And I'm not saying everybody should do it well, but it's like we all love each other, and we all include each other. So I think I'm looking this through a lens of how my mom and dad...
Wow, good you had it.
Did a great job.
Yes.
And I'm like, why am I left out? My mom and dad taught me that, you know, this might be my half-brother, but my biological dad loves my half-brother and so forth. So it's just really, I think I'm in a place where they're not doing the blended thing very well, where right. my parents did it great.
Mm-hmm.
So my question, Melissa, you started your question with, I felt unseen. And you just described your family of origin as everyone worked hard at seeing everyone and regarding
yeah.
them. Now,
mm-hmm.
here's where I want to take a turn to the real issue here, I think, is your new marriage or your marriage. There's an yeah. issue if your husband isn't able to hear what you need or even to understand or even to advocate for you. You and he are separate from the kids. I don't care what ages they are. But it's this, yeah. you know, joining together. And I think that's where your brokenheartedness comes from. Is, you know,
totally.
Not only did my stepdaughter didn't see me, didn't include me in pictures. I mean, that's offensive. Bless you, Chris.
Thank you.
but I just think that's where some healing can really take place. And I mean, it could be everything from maybe you guys work with a counselor. I would encourage you guys to come to our intimacy and marriage workshop. I think we have a book on blended families, and I can't remember the title of it. But I mean, Melissa, you've got a good image in your mind because of your own history. But those are some steps. But here's what I want to ask Chris and Alice. What is one thing she could say to her husband to get the conversation moving forward?
I think one thing she can say to her husband is, I've been carrying around this hurt that I don't want to keep from you. And I've been feeling hurt over feeling neglected and unseen at the weddings. Mm. And it really points to something that we need to work on.
And a structure to do that in, Melissa, is the comfort circle from our book, How We Love, because it will help teach your husband to be an active listener rather than going into defense or justification or anger. And you need a prolonged listening session with your husband.
Agree. We will send you a copy of How We Love and whatever that other book is that I can't think of the name of it.
Well, I'll just promote it. Smart Step Families by Ron Deal. Ron Deal has great resources there.
There you go. Thanks, Chris. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with your calls.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We learned so much from Chris. Alice and I were talking about, we were taking notes.
Yes.
And,
I regularly do.
Yeah. And one of the last things he just said was about internal family systems. It's, you know, a theoretical approach that we're, you know, learning and reading about. It's so fascinating. But, you know, the thing is, in families, just like Melissa's call, there are systems in place that if they don't get disrupted and if we don't address them, they will remain for years and generations, actually. And we want to help you with that. But
Melissa,
say one more thing.
Yeah, I want to say one more thing, because Melissa's experience really tells us something very, very important. And here's my general statement around this. The mind remembers information, and it's very limited.
Mm.
There's only so many CPUs we have there before it kicks out information.
Mm-hmm.
But the body remembers experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's remarkable how much it remembers.
Mm.
And so a lot of times when we're going after something and we're just addressing the mind or the head, things above the shoulders, we're going to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the experience that we have in life creates these organizing principles, especially pain creates organizing principles that we adjust our lives around to that we might not be aware of. But if we get into some really good body work, it will show us. It will tell us its truth about how experiences in life have impacted us and how we've then reorganized our lives around those experiences.
Right. And we keep those experiences in our body. And this is where we live. This is where we move. Right.
But, absolutely.
There is help. We're so glad for your wisdom, Chris. We're going to take Kathleen's call. She's calling us from Vacaville, California. Listens on KFIA. We're so glad you called, Kathleen. Thanks for waiting. How can we help you today?
Okay, thank you so much. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hello?
Hello.
Okay, good, good. Yes, I'm here. Yeah, thank you so much. So my question is about my relationship with my sister. I mean, there's a lot more to it, but I will explain. My son, I found out, was raped by my nephew, her son. And they're both adults now, and this just came out a year ago that I found out about what happened to my son. And I have, and my sister and I have always been very close and told each other and shared everything and supported one another. And so a year ago when I found out, obviously I couldn't call her. I almost did, but I did not call her right away. And I have not told her, and I have pulled away from her. I have not been as close, and there's been other situations in my life that have been very, very difficult in this last 2 years, and so I think she kind of understands why I've pulled away, but I just find myself wondering what I should do. I miss her in a lot of ways, I've needed to make boundaries with her, you know, anyway, but it's on my mind a lot. It's not resolved, and it's on my mind, and sometimes I feel very angry, and by removing myself from being close with her has been the only way I've been able to cope, but I know she doesn't really understand totally, and I wonder what I should do. I don't know what to do about that.
Alice, Chris, where do you want to begin?
Kathleen, how did you find out, and what has your son asked of you now that you know this information?
So my son, in 2018, he came to me for help because he was struggling. He was in college, and he was just really suffering with a lot of burnout. And at that time, of course, I didn't know the depths of what his struggles really were, but I'd already known that he did struggle with certain things, so I did, at that point when he asked for help, I said, let's go to the Amen Clinic and we'll get your brain scan and we'll just do this whole workup on you. And so we did. He agreed. And during that time is when we found out, well, he did not let me. He was an adult by that point, so he said, I may not let you in on everything that they're going to tell me. I said I was fine with that. Well, he did let me in on the consult after the scan, and they said, I didn't know this until later, but he and the doctor agreed to tell me that it was a PTSD a diagnosis. It wasn't that. They told me that it was a sleep problem, a sleep disorder, okay, because my son didn't want me to know. Okay, that it was PTSD. So I just accepted what they said and was like, well, that's weird. And we saw the scan and we saw the stuff, and they explained that. Well, then later my son told me about, I don't know, maybe 8 months after that, he said it really wasn't just the sleep thing. It was PTSD. And so, of course, I was like, well, oh my gosh, what happened? What was the trauma? You know, what's going on? He said, well, I can't really tell you. It would destroy the family. And I said, wait a minute. So he refused to tell me. I asked him 3 times if he would tell me at different times. And he just absolutely said no. So then I asked questions like, well, was it our family? Was it, because we have there's other siblings and our, you know, for him. And he said, no, it wasn't immediate. But he left me just guessing and wondering until a year ago, he had a breakdown. He had a total psychotic break.
Oh.
due to other stress factors in our life. And then in that psychotic episode, he screamed out at me that so-and-so raped him. And my sister, he said she knew it and she didn't do anything. Mm. And so I've known, so that's when he told me this horrific,
What a thing for a mother to find out all these years later after seeing your son struggle. Oh, my heart goes out to you. And what did your son ask? What did your son ask you to do, and what did he ask you not to do with the information?
So he said he didn't care. He said he was over it. He said that he had already. So prior to 2018, going to the Amen Clinic. No, I'm sorry. After the Amen Clinic is when he initiated.
Kathleen, I'm going to interrupt with another question. He said he didn't care. And have you asked him about talking with other people? Have you asked him about taking legal action, knowing that he doesn't care, but that if this is the case, that there is a rapist, perhaps untreated, and perhaps dangerous to other people?
Yeah, he just kind of threw up his hands and just was like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know what you do with this information now.
And is he still in therapy?
No, he's not. He's been in a year of recovery from this episode. He did get diagnosed with being bipolar. And so now he's been living with that, and he is living with us now. Anyway, I could tell you so much, but at this point, he's not.
So, Kathleen, let me jump. Let me jump in here. So, what we want to be able to do with this? There's a lot of things going on here, and a lot of things going on in the family.
Yeah.
Here's what I recommend. I do believe that you need to talk to your sister about it. Okay.
Okay.
And there's so many variables in here, and I'm not saying that this hasn't been done. You know, I believe your son, but we also have to consider the state he was in when he revealed this information. But I think that not addressing this elephant is causing tremendous amount of damage
to you and your son.
Yes, and her son. I mean, the whole entire family. And what I would recommend is finding a counselor in your area, finding a really good therapist who does
special. We can connect her.
Yes,
we can connect her.
Specializes in PTSD, and family processes.
Uh-huh.
And for you and your sister together to meet with her to talk through or meet with the therapist so that you guys can talk through this issue and you can reveal to her, and also that you both can get the support moving forward about what this means.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
Well, we're in different states. Well, I mean, that sounds fine. I just want to say that I have knowledge as of a year ago from the other doctors that my son has seen. I've seen the reports, and he has confirmed with them that he was raped
by my nephew. And that's really helpful. That's really helpful in the information. So I believe you need help. Yes. You need a third-party help to really talk through this issue, but it needs to be addressed with your sister, for sure.
Right. And I also think you had mentioned, Kathleen, that your son said his sister knew, or your sister knew. And so we're going to connect you with some help to get some clarity about this horrific situation. You know, betrayal trauma, you've got PTSD, you've got rape of a child that has gone unanswered, and someone has struggled for years with this. And so we want to get you the help that you need, and we're going to be praying for your son. And know that you've been a really good mom to do everything that you can to support him. I mean, you know, just it's really difficult when the evil in the world just comes and invades our lives. We'll be praying for you, and we'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It's Becky Brown and Chris Williams and Dr. Alice Benton. And that was a tough call. And Alice, do you have just a couple more pointers that, you know, if our listening audience is, this is part of their story, what could they do? What would be a good next step?
Well, when a family member has been a victim, there's a perpetrator. And often the perpetrator has harmed other people as well. And so alerting the authorities and having an evaluation done of the perpetrator in order to protect other potential victims, it's a very difficult step to take, and it feels so disruptive, and it feels like we're revealing something that's not our right to reveal. But it's necessary for justice to happen, and it's necessary for the protection of other people. And even if the victim doesn't want it to take place, it actually is part of their healing process as well.
I love that. Yeah. Chris, you want to add anything?
Amen. Like, just affirm. It's a really, really hard step, as you mentioned, Alice. It could be terrifying to do this. But to have the courage to report is really, really important.
Yes.
And I think that a person who has been victimized by a horrific act like this could even reasonably say, like, why is it my responsibility? It puts more burden on them.
That
is true. But this is where there's also help. A good therapist can help. Other resources. Get people to help you come forward with this if you can't do it on your own.
I agree. All right. Well, we're going to go to Joe, who's calling us from San Diego, listens on Sirius XM. Hello, Joe. Thanks for waiting. And we are glad to be able to help you. And what can we help you with today?
Thank you for taking my call. I've been married for 43 years to the same woman in the past 15 years, and she's gone through the phase of menopause. And during that time, she has no interest in sex. And I was speaking to her a couple days ago that maybe she needs to see her female doctor about some type of therapy. And she expressed to me that she has a certain cell makeup in her breast that if she did this, it could cause her to come down with breast cancer. So I need to know how to speak to her on the issues that I have. And it's not just about sex, but it's about other issues in our life. But at the same time, you know, I have needs. I feel neglected, unappreciated, rejected, you know, the whole nine yards. And I can't get to her, you know, and there's times when I would like to engage in sex. And sometimes, you know, as a man, I would like the woman to approach me, but she never does, you know, and it just goes on and on. And since then, I have relegated her to roommate status. You're a roommate. I can't do nothing for you. She likes to fix up the house. I'm not interested in doing that for you. Your car needs repair. I'm not interested in doing anything to help you.
Well,
and I started to get bitter and resentful.
Joe,
I haven't had an affair.
That's
or anything like that. You know,
good.
I like to keep my character, in place. You know, I don't want to.
We hear your heart, and I celebrate the 43 years, and I also hear that you guys are in trouble. And I love that you have the awareness that it is not just sexual, that it is also just the connection that you guys are missing. I just want to say one thing about menopausal women and their health care. The old information is still out there. And what I would say to any woman who's listening that their menopause has affected their life, because it does, ask your doctor. Don't just assume that there's nothing that anybody can do. Get curious about your health and what you need to live a full life. It's amazing what we have discovered over the years, but I just want to encourage you, if you're listening and this is part of your story. On the other side, I want to hear from Alice and Chris. How can Joe reconnect with his wife, not just about this, but, you know, just to continue to have 43 more years? I mean, I know that's ridiculous, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Joe, I understand you're pulling back from your wife and you're needing to in a protective way because her lack of consideration of you is so hurtful. And I think you've been lonely in your marriage for quite some time. And I suspect your wife was probably unable to even emotionally connect with you well before the sexual distance. And I'm going to challenge you with something, Joe, because you're actually doing something that I've recommended at times. To pull away from a hurtful spouse is sometimes necessary. And I need you to check your motivation, because I think you're punishing her with your withdrawal. And that's not a motivation that will bring healing. It's totally understandable. You're hurt, you're going to hurt her back. But it's not healing to your relationship. Would you tell me how you receive that from me? Do you see any truth in that?
Yeah, I can. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah, I do. I do. I'm going to say I do want to punish her just because of the neglect. You know, I feel that I'm a good man. I'm a good husband. I'm a good father. And as I told your screener, that it's not just about sex. It doesn't always have to be about penetration. You know, it could be she just put a shirt on and just walk around.
Well Joe, hold on. Let me jump in. Okay, so Joe, here's what I want you to do. This is going to sound painful, and it's also going to sound weird coming from another man. I want you to take sex off the table. She's not that.
Yeah, you know.
But listen to me. I want you to address the hurt apart from the lack of sex, because I think she has a better chance of hearing it. Because I want, what I would love for her to be able to hear, and again, we have no idea how she'll respond, but what I want her to hear is that you're feeling a distance in the marriage, that you're feeling a neglect in your connection with her, and that is scary and hurtful for you.
But I told her that.
Okay, and then your desire to connect with her? Has she heard that? Your desire to be close with her, to be beyond roommates, to be partners in life together?
No, I haven't gone there. You
got to go.
You know, I'm kind of...
And here's where I think
I'm kind of dug in right now.
Yes. And in digging in, you're digging behind your hurt, like Alice was addressing there, you know. And punishing her is not going to draw her close to you. It's going to be counterintuitive to your desire.
Well, and Chris, talk to him. We've just got a few minutes left, a minute. But Chris, talk to him about that irritation, that fear, that resentment that's building up in him and building that wall.
Yes.
What can he do with that?
I think this is hard, but I think eventually that will need to be addressed. But right now, I think you need to give it away. You need to let it go to God. I think what I would recommend is you take one more shot at pursuing your wife in the positive. Meaning that, like, not here's what I don't want, but here is what I want for us. And again, take sex off the table as for right now, but just say, I want us to start connecting, doing things together, building a common life together. I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to give this one more shot at pursuing you. Yes. And I'm going to, you know, ask that we go to the workshop, Intimacy and Marriage. So I'm going to re-up to pursue you once again, and I'm going to ask that you learn to respond to me. And can you do that?
Well, I appreciate that. We're going to send you a copy of How We Love, Joe, and we're going to invite you to come to our Intimacy and Marriage workshop in February. You guys are right down the road, and we'd love to see you there. If you need anything, please give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We are there for you. Thank you, Alice. Thank you, Chris. Thank you to all of you who are listening and giving to New Life. It makes a difference.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.